Want to send a message to your favourite Radio Today presenter? Or send a general comment or request to Radio Today? Well, you can by simply SMSing your message to 44008. That's 44008. Standard SMS rates apply. Radio Today. Radio that delivers.
Changing Destiny is proudly brought to you by WEM Media, right here on Radio Today. Radio Today, radio that delivers.
Welcome to Changing Destiny. My name is Paul Pereira. Now, no one starts a childcare NGO or a hospice or that sort of an organization or good cause because they are an HR specialist or a fundraiser or a marketing guru. No, but those are the things, sustainability things and long-term planning that end up deciding whether an organization will fail or succeed. And particularly people look at fundraising, but there are so many other things that are part of the greater sustainability of an organization. And many people who run these NGOs or non-profit companies do not have all the skills necessary or the time or the wherewithal to carry their organizations in such a strategic planning way. Well, help has arrived, and it's come from a consultancy called Capacitate with the help of Deutsche Bank, and they have brought out, unique I think in the world, a set of tools which will provide NGOs and non-profit companies with a holistic view of everything from HR to proposal writing to governance issues to fundraising, and also with online tools and printed tools. And to tell us all about it, we have Jason Bygate from Capacitate, and he'll be chatting to us just after we've listened to Reality by Lost Frequencies.
Sometimes I believe, at times I'm rational. I can fly high, I can go low. Today I got a million, tomorrow I don't know. Decisions as I go, to anywhere I flow. Sometimes I believe, at times I'm rational. I can fly high, I can go low. Today I got a million, tomorrow I don't know.
Welcome back. You're on Changing Destiny with Paul Pereira. Now, leaders of NGOs who feel under the cosh because of just trying to survive, never mind doing their jobs, they need money, they need to have all sorts of organizational strengths that very often they can hardly afford or even understand properly because these are all sorts of multidisciplinary things, have got help on the way. The cavalry has arrived, and it's in the form of Capacitate, which is a social entrepreneurship consultancy in Johannesburg, a very good one. And we spoke with Jason Bygate, who's one of the founders and directors, a couple of years ago, and he's back now with a very big project. And it was the launch yesterday of a self-learning handbook for civil society organizations, so NGOs, non-profit companies, community organizations, that sort of thing, which helps them with their sustainability and basically to manage and lead the thing and in a way that will mean that it gets from one harbor to another. Jason, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back. Nice to see you again.
Great. Jason, I think before we get going on the tools, let's talk a little bit about Capacitate, just to remind ourselves what you chaps do, why you exist, and who you serve.
Great. Thanks, Paul. Yes, so we're a development consultancy, and in essence, we have been established to support funders and NGOs to optimize the delivery on social objectives. So our role is really to support both funders to spend their money better and implementing partners like NGOs and CBOs and nonprofits to implement more efficiently and more effectively. So our role is really to provide support across the board in terms of those objectives.
Now, I mean, it's obvious that I'm talking all the time about how this helps NGOs, but of course it'll help everybody because it helps those who fund them. It helps those who get their services. The fact of the matter is that they are often quite shaky, aren't they? They're often quite fragile.
They are quite fragile, and I think especially given the current environment and the context in which many organizations are working, it is increasingly challenging given the tightening financial constraints of the various economies and the challenging environment in which they're providing these essential services. So any additional pressure just adds to the vulnerability.
How many NGOs have we got in this country?
Safe to say thousands and thousands. We have increasing numbers of organizations being registered, and largely it's a sign of the level of need on the ground by the people in our country. It is obviously not something that is unique to South Africa, but we do have some fairly significant challenges that are being experienced on a day-to-day basis by the people in our country.
What are the main, difficulties that leaders have or management has within NGOs and that sort of organization?
Well, I think NGOs are largely focused on delivering the essential service, and that means delivering the social impact that is required on the ground. Fortunately or unfortunately, what it means is that you have to have an organization behind you and the various structures to be able to deliver on those services. And that inevitably means that there are a whole range of skills and levels of expertise required, including, as you were mentioning before, HR, financial management, marketing and communications, fundraising, as well as the required governance and compliance requirements.
And if you don't think you need them, your funders do.
Well, I think if you don't think that you need them, then you're probably in more trouble than you think.
Tell us a bit about these tools.
So the development of the sustainability tools that we've recently launched, thanks largely in part to Deutsche Bank, is really the product of a cumulative journey. Initiated largely thanks to USAID through their funding grant managers at PACT and FHI, but really it is the culmination of that journey and a collection of experience that we've garnered along the way. And ultimately what we're looking to do is to provide a base of knowledge that can support organizations as they're building their resilience. So we see sustainability as an ongoing process rather than a destination. So we're looking to provide some level of support through these tools that will assist them in building resilience.
How do they work practically?
So practically what we have is we have two components at this stage. As I said, because it's a journey, we're looking to continuously evolve the support offering in these tools. But we have a self-learning guide, which is a handbook. In that handbook, what we've looked to provide is a base of knowledge and content that will improve the capacity within the organization, the understanding and the skills. But we've also tried to make it accessible and practical. So we provided practical tools and exercises and templates that can assist organizations with the various functional areas that encapsulate sustainability. And I think just on that note, what we're looking at is sustainability as a holistic requirement, as opposed to just managing finances better.
Well, yeah. I mean, if I was asked, what does it mean? I would say income generation and communications, because I do that stuff.
Yes.
But when I have a look at all the things you've pulled together, I don't think any one person is likely to have all those skills.
Absolutely.
We're talking about, when you say sustainability, it's a big thing. I mean, it's governance, it's the recruitment practices, it's the marketing side, it's your proposal writing, it is, of course, your fundraising, and it's much more. Take us through some of it.
So what we see sustainability as being is something that is the responsibility of everyone within the organization. So traditionally, this enormous burden falls on the shoulders of the CEO or director, and they're required to kind of pull all of these skills together. But what we see is sustainability as being is really the responsibility of everyone within the organization, both in terms of their contribution towards sustainability through greater efficiency, but also in terms of marketing and communicating about the organization to build their base of followers and potential supporters. So we look at this as, in essence, a shared burden, if you will, where every member of the organization should be participating in and contributing to sustainability within the organization and improving their resilience. And that's why a lot of what we do directly in terms of consulting with organizations is to facilitate that process, to assist organizations in understanding the process of sustainability and to assist them in guiding the acceptance of responsibility across the organization.
Is that a good idea, though, to take your management right through? On one level, you need to hold the reins, don't you?
Absolutely, you do need to hold the reins, but I think that you need to have everyone on board in terms of the direction that you're going in. Otherwise, you have the leader of the organization that is constantly wrestling the horse, if you will, to make sure it goes in the right direction. If everyone is aware of the requirement, then it becomes a lot easier to lead an organization with everyone on board.
I mean, some of the things you need to do or know about these days is things like monitoring and evaluation, broad-based black economic empowerment. How do these things affect NGOs?
Well, I think monitoring and evaluation, for one, is really what provides the insight in terms of your operational efficiency and your strategic direction. So an effective monitoring and evaluation structure allows the organization to operate more efficiently because you have visibility of what's going on, and also to have a better strategic direction because you're better informed about the results that you're achieving on the ground. In terms of things like BEE and SED funding, that, in essence, is really quite a difficult navigation for most organizations. But it is something that needs to be considered because it provides opportunities for diversifying revenue streams and applying for different avenues of funding. And largely in part, organizations in South Africa do benefit from a relatively high level of BEE status given the beneficiaries that they serve. So what we're looking to do is to see how we can guide the leveraging of that status to diversify the revenue opportunities for organizations.
Now, there seems to be quite a strong move amongst non-profit organizations towards having profit-making arms to take some sort of advantage of benefits that accrue to monies that go into enterprise development, which is profit-making. Are we just dealing here with a bit of a herd rush? Does it make sense?
I think it absolutely makes sense. So income-generating activities and depending on how you define it, social enterprise is really an opportunity for organizations to leverage the position that they hold in communities. So what we need to recognize is that organizations hold a relatively unique position within communities. They have trusted status, they have a really well-entrenched network, and they have existing infrastructure. So from an income-generating perspective, there are opportunities to leverage these resources to diversify revenue opportunities, to allow them to create opportunities to make money through their existing operations. What we do try to focus on in terms of developing income-generating activities is to ensure that there isn't a dilution of the delivery on core services. So the last thing we want is an organization that is focused, for example, on providing services to orphans and vulnerable children, and suddenly is more focused on earning money through their social enterprise or their income-generating activity.
We're chatting with Jason Bygate of Capacitate, and we'll continue doing that just after we've listened to Lost Frequencies with Are You With Me?
I want to dance by water beneath the Mexican sky, drink some margaritas by swinging blue lights, listen to the mariachi play at midnight. Are you with me? Are you with me?
Margaritas by swinging blue lights. Listen to the mariachi play at midnight. Are you with me? Are you with me?
Welcome back. You're on Changing Destiny with Paul Pereira and Jason Bygate. Jason, if I look at NGOs, or if you look at NGOs rather, what is the area or areas within their overall sustainability that tends to get the least attention, as far as you can tell?
Well, I think firstly, the fact that sustainability is an organization-wide consideration. I think that is the starting point, is really something that's completely ignored. And largely, it's a factor of money-making decisions. So largely, the focus when it comes to sustainability is how much money we have in the bank. Mm-hmm. And the softer factors are largely not considered as part of considerations around sustainability. So in particular, things like marketing and communications, how we build our brand and how we can then take that to market. Also things like governance and human resources. An organization may have a fortune in the bank, but unless their people are staying in the organization and able to deliver the services that they need to be delivering, the organization is not going to be sustainable in the long term.
And I suppose that some of them get it right and some of them get it less right. Some examples of people who are very good at the overall, I would say probably the holistic way of managing the sustainability of an organization.
Well, I think sustainability is largely is really, as you were saying earlier, something that is driven from by the leadership, but it does require the buy-in from the entire team. In terms of organizations that we've seen that have been particularly successful, both in terms of sustainability, but also in terms of transition, so in recognizing the changing landscape, we've had fantastic engagement with the likes of HIV South Africa. They've made some fantastic changes in adapting to the challenging funding environment and re-engineering their processes. The likes of Cotlands is a great example of an organization that is adapting and innovating.
They've been very agile, haven't they?
Extremely agile and extremely successful at creating a marketable brand that then attracts funders and allows them to deliver consistently on their mandate, even though that mandate has been changing.
I just want to, for the sake of painting a little picture for listeners, take them through some of the elements of the handbook, and then we'll talk about how that ties in with your online tool. But just to have a sense of in institutional sustainability in an organization, here we're talking about governance, strategy, recruitment practices, your board, your marketing. I'm going through the contents here, the communications, the financial sustainability, your proposal writing, income generating activities, and on and on and on into greater detail. But the point is that this is almost the most obvious thing to pull all of these things together, and yet it's never happened.
Well, I think it's you're quite correct. I think there are these parts that exist, but what we've looked to do is, as you said, try and pull them together. Mm. And we've tried to make it as accessible as possible. So by no means are we saying that the content that we're providing in the handbook is fully comprehensive and exhaustive. But what we're looking to do is provide a foundation, a base for organizations to build on. There are definitely specialist areas that would require additional support, the likes of the BEE codes being one of those key areas.
Although you have it here, I mean, you introduce people to it, you let them have a sense of the landscape.
Absolutely. But there are some areas that require that specialist assistance, operational efficiency being one of those things that requires a deeper analysis.
Now, of course, when you put everything into something, it's not going to apply to everybody, so people get to judge for themselves. Tell us about that tool.
So it is something that is going to apply differently to different organizations and at different levels. We're looking to continuously evolve the handbook and also the online tool that we've developed. It is the first edition of many, we hope, and also many instances of it. So we're hoping to be able to develop content that would apply more specifically to community-based organizations, as an example, and perhaps even specific sectors where there are particular challenges being faced by organizations that are somewhat different from the norm. What we've looked to do is to make it as dynamic as possible, and that's why we have developed an online assessment tool. The online assessment tool is in essence the starting point for sustainability. So it provides organizations with the opportunity to assess where they are in terms of their own sustainability. So it provides an assessment across the four functional areas that we've identified in terms of sustainability planning, institutional sustainability, financial sustainability, and then also program sustainability. So how relevant are their programs? And what this tool provides is then a dashboard view of where the organization is sitting. We've applied a scoring system so the organization can see where they're scoring at the start of this process. And the idea behind the tool is that it is a mechanism of continuous assessment. So we would do another assessment after a 6 to 12 month period,
okay,
to check on the progress that the organization has made over the period, and also in following an engagement with the content that we've provided.
And you're available too for consultation.
Absolutely. So in some instances, we provide direct support to assist organizations in initiating the change towards greater resilience and sustainability. And that involves facilitated workshops and direct consulting and some of that expertise that we were talking about earlier that isn't necessarily contained exhaustively within the handbook.
Why Deutsche Bank?
Well, I think Deutsche Bank has shown a commitment consistently to the nonprofit sector. Our association with them is largely as a result of their provision of an income generating course to a number of partners, and our work is really to supplement that that activity of theirs, and really an extension of their commitment to local organizations.
Now, it's not a place that's got branches everywhere, so how do I get hold of this toolkit? How do I find out about the online assessment? This handbook, I mean, it's a proper big book. How does one get hold of it?
So the best way to get hold of the book and get hold of us is to engage directly through our website, which is www.capacitate.co.za. Or through email. I'm available on email. It's jason@capacitate.co.za, as well as my partner, Karen@capacitate.co.za.
Now, I must say that when I look at, and this applies across the board, it doesn't matter if it's in NGOs or companies, there's this thing called good governance best practice, which is almost never that. And it's almost always a set of ticks. If we do this sort of thing, we have an ethics code or whatever it is, and we follow the Institute of Directors rules and we do King 10 or whatever it is at the moment, then we've actually done the job of leadership. That is not leadership, that is simply managing. Are we not at risk with all of these, when I have a look through all the things that people have to comply with, not your ideas, but the fact is that people have to comply with all sorts of things, are we not actually stopping them from doing the job of being visionary leaders?
I think so, to some extent. But I think there is a place for the compliance and the governance elements. And I think really that is to ensure both consistency in terms of services that are being provided and to some extent sustainability. But from our perspective, the focus on sustainability needs to be taken on by the entire organization. So in terms of choking visionary leaders, it is if the burden of sustainability is shared across the organization, then the leaders are still able to focus on the strategic direction of the organization.
And that's a big part of it.
So, absolutely.
It's potential to survive. And what is the biggest threat, do you think, outside of funding, which is the obvious one, the biggest single threat to NGOs in South Africa, if I can make such a broad sort of question?
Well, I think the biggest threat, in my opinion, is legacy. So I think a legacy of charity, a legacy of expecting support, and with that complacency. Not being proactive in sustainability, not considering all of the opportunities to diversify revenue. Not making operations as efficient and effective as possible. So
not
I think
even thinking in terms of partnership so much as we sit in our little cell and that's how we've done it.
Well, definitely. I think that's with the tightening economic conditions and the restricted funding that's now available, organizations are increasingly concerned about protecting their turf, if you will, and protecting their sources of funding. So I think there's a need for increasing collaboration and partnership and not less collaboration and partnership.
Well, I hope that our NGO sector is healthy. You've certainly done something quite extraordinary in terms of helping it to be that way. Thank you for that, Jason, and I strongly commend the Capacitate tools that have come out to listeners and to NGOs and non-profit companies. And you can get it from, just remind us again, Jason.
So via our website, it's www.capacitate.co.za. or by email on jason@capacitate.co.za.
Thank you, Jason Bygate, and thank you, listeners, for joining me, Paul Pereira, and it's been a great discussion. Please do the same thing, same time next week on Radio Today, South Africa's Thinking Station. Goodbye.